Praise the Lord for this gathering. Hallelujah. We had a wonderful meeting last night. The Lord's really opened up His Word to us. This is the first time for many years we have the English-speaking conference in Franklin Park. Even though in the past we have many Chinese-speaking conference here, this is also the first time we have all the translation equipment ready from English to Chinese to Korean to Spanish. Amen. in Franklin Park. Amen. And the gathering of all the churches in both New York, New Jersey, and all the surrounding this area. What a blessing to come to enter into the Lord's speaking, to receive His up-to-date ministry. Even though this is the first time, seems like we read so enjoyable, the book of Mark. Even the we sang him today, this hymn 190, we sang many times on the Lord's Day. But we are being refreshed this morning. But we always be enjoy what thou art meets our every need. Our hearts overflow with praise to thee. All our desire thou dost exceed and satisfy continually. But what is our desire? What is the Lord meets our every need? In our understanding, we always consider we need the wisdom. We need strength. We need love. We need life. We need many, many things. But this hymn was written only mentioned four things. Actually, only mentioned four persons according to book of Gospels. You realize what we need is this wonderful person. Amen. Jesus Christ. Amen. Revealed in the four Gospels. Amen. Revealed in the book of Matthew as the King Savior. Amen. Revealed in the book of John as the God Savior. Revealed in the book of Luke as a man savior, and revealed in the book of Mark as a slave savior. When we share and read the Bible with new ones, we all always like to start with John. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was life, and the Word was with God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. We all enjoy this word, the Gospel of John. And we also enjoy the Gospel of Matthew, right? The Gospel of Matthew. He is the King Savior. And the book of Matthew, even the length of the Gospel, four Gospels, Matthew is the longest. Matthew has how many chapters? 28 chapters. Which one is the shortest? Mark is shortest. John has 21 chapters. And Luke has 24 chapters. So, in the past, at least from my understanding, we seldom, we somehow look down the book of Mark. Right? In the four Gospels, Matthew has the genealogy of Christ. Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. This is revealed to us. He is the king, right? And he can bring in the kingdom of the heavens and reveal to us the kingdom, the nature, the constitution, and the appearance, even the reward, the manifestation of the kingdom in the book of Matthew. And in the book of Luke, also has genealogy. Out of four Gospels, only these two books has the genealogy. One is the genealogy of Christ from Abraham, from the called race. Another genealogy is a genealogy of a proper man. And interesting, in Matthew, we have 42 generation from Abraham to Christ. But in the book of Luke, we have 77 generation all the way to the son of Adam, the son of God. These two, he is revealed to us. He is the God, the Savior, God Savior and the King Savior. But Mark is short, only has 16 chapters. But how rich was revealed to us through yesterday's sharing. In order for the Lord gain his purpose, to have the reality of the body of Christ become our experience, we need to experience what's being revealed in the book of Mark. The reality of Jesus. The reality is in Jesus. He's human living. He is the slave savior. He brought serve God to man. And this is the gospel of God. And this is the book of Mark. How about let's enjoy, let's come to message two. We can read today, message two is on the contents and ways of the slave savior's gospel service. Amen. Let's read Roman numeral one for together. Christ as the slave savior did not come to be served, but to serve. He served us in the past. He still serves us in the present. And he is going to serve us in the future. Brother A, the story of the gospel
and the meaning of salvation, that Christ loves and serves us first.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He first served us. Then he will serve others. Again, not we serve others, but he served others through us. And the Lord's purpose is not only this slave savior has fulfilled God's purpose, have lived out God in his human living on the earth and served God's people. Even today, he is reproducing himself in many of his followers, in many of us, so that we can live the same life. As the Father has sent him, and he lived because of the Father, so that he who is him shall also live because of him. We can serve not by ourselves, but we can serve because he first served us. Just like revealed in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. We enjoy his love, and this love becomes the love within us, becomes the capacity within us to love others, becomes the ability within us to serve others, and brought them into the enjoyment. Amen. Sister B. Amen. We can become the means by which he dispenses himself as life into others. Praise the Lord. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he come that we may have life and may have it abundantly. Today, this life is he himself. The last Adam became the life-giving spirit. And this is the spirit, the Lord Jesus today within us. Continue, minister his life to others. Just review in 1 John 5:16. If a brother sins, and you help him by minister life to him. But this life is not out of ourselves. But this is life what we enjoy and fill us so that we can minister same life of God into others. Let's read Roman numeral 2. We need to see and enter into the reality, the content of the Savior. Wonderful and excellent gospel service. Amen. This is the review in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 45. How about let's turn to the scripture. Let's read this chapter, this portion of the word together. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 45. We can read brother verse, one verse and sister another, alternate. Mark chapter 1, 14. And after John was delivered up, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. Sisters. He saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And immediately, leaving the net, they followed him. And immediately he called them, and leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, they went after him. And they were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as the one having authority, not like the scribes. What have we to do with you, Jesus Nazarene? Have you come to destroy us? No, you are the Holy One of God. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and shouting with a loud voice, came out of him. Immediately, the report concerning him went out everywhere into all the surrounding region of Galilee. And Simon's law was lying down with a fever. Immediately, they told him about her. When the evening fell, the sun had set. They brought to him all those who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases. And he cast out many demons and did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. There, and Simon and those with him hunted for him, and they that I may preach there also, because of this purpose I came out. And the leper came to him, entreating him, and falling on his knees, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can cleanse me." And he was moved with compassion, and I am willing. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Amen. Say to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer this cleansing to the things which Moses commanded for a testimony to them. But amen. You can see this portion of the word. What the word used most frequently? Immediately. 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 This is what kind of attitude is the servant. He is the slave savior. He served God with all these people. And I enjoy this portion. When the Lord come to proclaim the gospel, the first thing he called the disciples. Simon and John. He called James, this four disciples with him. So throughout his ministry, all four of them are brought in with the slave savior. He basically showed them what kind of service, what kind of living he is living out. The same for us today. Whatever he did will continue repeated and reproduced in us. Let's read this Roman numeral 2. Contents of slave savior, wonderful and excellent gospel service. There are five of them, and the first eight brothers. The first thing the slave savior did in his gospel service was to proclaim the gospel. Sisters. Brothers, Christ came not only as the messenger of God, bringing a word of message from God to God's people, but also as the message sent by God. He himself is the living message of God. Sisters. Brothers, his proclaiming implies teaching, and his teaching implies proclaiming. And sisters, B. Brothers, the truth is the shining of the divine light on the facts of the Bible to televise the heavenly vision of those facts into our being. The truth is the shining of the light. The light is the light of life. The life is the spirit. Life and the Spirit, which are all Christ himself, are inseparable. Amen. Sisters. Brothers, his teaching released the word of light to enlighten those in the darkness of death, that they might receive the light of life. Together, see. 13, slave savior did in his gospel service was to cast out demons from the possessed people. Sisters. Amen. Brothers, the Lord Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan, and his casting out demons was for people to be delivered from Satan's bondage, out of Satan's authority of darkness, into together with D. The fourth thing slave Savior did in his gospel service was to heal the sick sisters. Sickness issues from sin and is a sign of man's abnormal condition. Brothers, we must learn to preach the gospel and teach the truth like a physician, giving people a heavenly prescription and a divine medicine for their healing. Together, verse 5, E. The slave Savior did his gospel service was to cleanse the leper. We read 1 and 2. 1 is by brothers, 2 by sisters. Okay. Leprosy signifies the sin of rebellion, such as willful sin, presumptuous sin, and opposing God with determination. Sisters. Amen.
So, where was I? The content of the gospel, the way it is delivered, is seen in chapter 2 through the beginning of chapter 3 of the Gospel of Mark. So when you consider, you know, a way of doing things, you might say, well, what are the steps? You might say, well, what are the steps taken in the delivering of the content of the gospel by the slave Savior? But actually, if you look at this portion of the scripture, it does not show the steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that the slave Savior takes in bringing the gospel to man. Rather, 5 short stories are presented. And by spending time to consider before the Lord each of these 5 stories, we can receive light to see the way, actually, through the Lord's activity and through His behavior, we can receive light to see that the way the Lord carries out and delivers the content of the gospel to man. So we'll review that in the outline, but before going on to cover each of these ways and what we see of the Lord, I had 2 general impressions that I wanted to share are related to the way that the Lord brings this content of the gospel to man. And the first impression is that, you know, again, when we think about a way to do things, we often ask, well, what's the best way? What's the method for doing that thing? We want to know what's the best method. But actually, if you look in this portion of the scripture, you don't find so much a method, but there is a way. And that way is the living of the various aspects of the person of Christ. Actually, the person of Christ is the way that He delivers the content of the gospel. So these five short stories that are presented in chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3, we see that Christ is God with the divine authority to forgive sins. He's the friend of sinners who feasts together with them. He's the bridegroom who cares for the joy and rejoicing of the wedding party. He's the Lord of the Sabbath as our real rest and our satisfaction. And finally, He's the physician and He's our healer who takes care of our wellness. So it's not a method, but it is a person. Amen. It is the person that is the way that the content of the gospel is delivered. The second impression I had in going over this portion of the scripture is the Lord, in His way of bringing the gospel to man, in one sense, He really set aside. He didn't care for traditions, for religious regulations, even for rituals of religion. I even say He didn't care for norms or expectations of human behavior. Actually, what He cared for in case by case, individual by individual, when you look at these stories, is He cared for the person of man. You think about this first story in chapter 2. For me personally, sometimes I'm around people, and the way they act and their behavior sometimes can make me uncomfortable. And that becomes the focus of my interaction. If someone acts a little strange, does something that I don't think is appropriate, that kind of distracts me from other things. Well, you consider this very first story in Mark chapter 2. And the Lord is there, and it actually says it's at His home. So I think it was His house. And there is a big crowd gathered together. And there was a group of friends, and their companion was paralyzed, and they wanted to see him healed. But they couldn't get into the house, so in order to get in, what they did is they dug a hole through the roof. If I were the Lord, and people were looking for me, and I were important, and they wanted to get to me, and to do so, they started to dig through someone's house and destroy their property, I would begin to cringe. I would become very uncomfortable and have some sense of obligation and responsibility for that person's house. But the Lord just didn't pay attention to that. He was so kind, so full of love. And then in chapter 2, verse 5, He simply said, "Child, your sins are forgiven." And then He was healed. So this is the Lord. And just a little experience of this I've had in the church life. Brother Haining and I, we were serving in the Bronx together over the last couple of years. Now I'm meeting in the Manhattan District. And, in the Bronx, we have some really wonderful, lovely young people. And, neither of us have any particular or formal training in serving the young people, or maybe a little bit, but not much to speak of. But we just kind of picked up a burden for them and started spending time with them. And one of the ways that we carried out the young people's service is to have young people's meetings on the Lord's Day. And so one observation I made, while the young people are cool, they're pretty fun to hang out with, they're quite sweet and lovely, they really don't have much of a sense of responsibility or obligation toward, like, social norms. So when we'd present, we'd have a lesson to provide or something to share with them from the Word, they would kick each other in the feet and giggle. They'd have side conversations. They would even make jokes and stare at their phone instead of paying attention to us. And, we feel like, gosh, we're kind of important people. It's Lord's Day morning. I have a lot of good things I could be doing, and you guys aren't paying attention. And that's easy to feel that way, especially when we were tired in the beginning, had a lot of different church life services. So very easy to become frustrated and let their behavior become the focus. Not a good experience for them, not a good experience for us. But I think we learned a little bit with time to be exercised before the Lord, to be patient before the Lord, and just be together with the young people and actually have a good time. Just talk and listen and actually find out they're fun to be with. And then in such a kind of situation like that, I tell you, and Brother Nee, I think Brother Haynin can testify too, every single time when we just had a normal time together, by the end of our time together, there was an opportunity to minister something of life. You know, I think sometimes we prophesy in a meeting, we sit down, we feel like, oh my goodness, that was horrible. But in another sense, I feel like when we speak something of the Word to people, oftentimes you get a sense, boy, I really hit the mark. I tell you, in those times we were just exercised before the Lord to be patient, at the end of the meeting we had the sense we hit the mark and something of life, even a little bit, got dispensed into the young people. So brothers and sisters, this is the way that Christ takes to deliver the content of the gospel. His way is His person. And His way is to care for people, person by person, and individual by individual. Amen. So we'll move on to the outline, and we'll just read through together, and I'll reference a couple of verses and have some minimal commentary. So starting with Roman numeral 3, we'll skip ahead. I think the last one we read was 2C, but we're going to go ahead and skip to Roman numeral 3 now, and I'll read. Okay, Roman numeral 3. The five incidents recorded in Mark 2:1 through 3:6 reveal the five merciful and living ways taken by the slave Savior to carry out His gospel service. Okay, I'll read and you can listen. A. As God, with the divine authority, He forgave the sins of the victim of sickness that He might release him from Satan's oppression and restore him to God. The scribes considered this to be against the theology of their religion. Point one. The Lord Jesus was both the God Savior and the slave Savior, possessing deity and humanity. He had not only the ability to save sinners, but also the authority to forgive their sins. If you look at Luke chapter 5, verse 24, it says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Amen. Moving on to number 2. Receiving the forgiveness of our sins causes us to fear God and to love God. In the Lord's salvation, He not only forgives our sins, but also causes us to rise and walk, to go in peace, and to go, and from now on, sin no more. You know, in Luke chapter 7, there's the story of Simon. I think he was a leader among the Jewish religion. And he invited the Lord for breakfast. And then along with Simon and the Lord, a woman followed the Lord. And the Lord told a parable. And He said to Simon in 7:41 through 43, said, "A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. But since they had nothing with which to repay, He graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love Him more?" And so Simon, the religious leader, said, "I suppose the one whom He graciously forgave the more." And He said to him, "You have judged correctly." Well, actually, both Simon and the woman, you'd have to go back and read that story in Luke 7, both Simon and the woman were in great need of the Lord's forgiveness. Might have been Simon's evaluation that, you know, so to speak, he only owed 50 denarii. But actually, every one of us owes tremendous debt to the Lord. And it's simply a matter of how much we've been enlightened. But the more we're enlightened to see how much we are in debt to the Lord and how much we need forgiveness of our sins, the more we will fear Him. And this fear is not a fear of impending doom, but this is fear of reverence. And the more we receive the forgiveness of our sins, the more we see we need it, the more we receive it, the more we will love Him. Amen. Moving on to B. As a physician to the sick and miserable people, He feasted with tax collectors who were disloyal and unfaithful to their race. As with sinners who were despised and isolated from society, that they might taste the mercy of God and be recovered to the enjoyment of God. This was condemned by the self-righteous, yet merciless scribes of the Pharisees. Point one. The self-righteous Pharisees considered themselves strong. Hence, blinded by their self-righteousness, they did not know that they were ill and needed Christ as a physician. Matthew 9:12 says, "Now when he heard this, he said, 'Those who are strong have no need of a physician, but those who are ill.'" In the next verse 13, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." B2. The Lord as the physician takes care of His patients by causing them to feast with Him, bringing them into the enjoyment of God, the joy of salvation. The enjoyment of God is a feast. 1 Corinthians 5:7 and 8 say, "Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For our Passover Christ also has been sacrificed. So then let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And then Psalm 51:12 says, "Restore to me the gladness of salvation." Amen. Amen. And then moving on to C, "As a bridegroom with the sons of the bride chamber, he caused his followers to be merry and happy without fasting." Thus he annulled the practice of the disciples of John, who were the new religionists, and the Pharisees, who were the old religionists, so that his followers could be delivered from the practices of the religion into the enjoyment of God's Christ as their bridegroom. Amen. With himself as their righteousness to be their outer clothing, and with himself as their life to be their inner wine in God's New Testament economy. Point one, the real meaning of fasting is to stop eating all things other than the Lord Jesus. Amen. And to not have a taste for anything other than Him.
Amen.
Amen. Moving on to point two, Christ as the bridegroom gains us to be His overcoming bride as His duplication by being our physician to organically heal us in our entire tripartite being by His complete salvation.
Amen.
Romans 5:10 says, "For if we, being enemies, were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more we will be saved in His life, having been reconciled." Malachi 4:2, "But unto you who fear My name will the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings. And you will go forth and leap about like well-fed calves." The Lord heals us by feeding us. When He feeds us, we are healed. And when we are healed, we are happy.
Amen.
And when we're happy, we become His bride.
Amen.
Small point A, He is our new cloth as our new garment to clothe us and beautify us with Himself as our God-given righteousness through the shedding of His precious blood applied to us for our judicial redemption.
Amen.
Luke chapter 15, verse 22, from the story of the prodigal son says, "But the father said to his slaves, 'Bring out quickly the best robe and put it on him.'" 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom to us from God, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption."
Amen.
Small point B, He is our new wine as our new life to fill us and cheer us with Himself as our God-given portion through the dispensing of His priceless life into us for our organic salvation. Judges 9:13 says, "But the vine said to them, 'Shall I leave My wine, which cheers God and men?'" Christ is the new wine that cheers us. Matthew 9:17, "Neither do they put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise the wineskins burst and the wine pours out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved. Point three, we are not only the bride of Christ, but also the sons of the bride chamber, to be the corporate best man of Christ as the bridegroom. By enjoying Him as our new garment and new wine, we become His corporate best man, the body of Christ as the new man. Moving on to D. The Lord allowed His followers to pick the ears of grain in the grain fields on the Sabbath so that they could satisfy their hunger. Thus, apparently, they broke God's commandment concerning the Sabbath. But actually, they pleased God because the hunger of Christ's followers was satisfied through Him, as the hunger of David and his followers had been satisfied with the bread of the presence in the house of God. This indicates that in God's New Testament economy, it is a matter not of keeping the regulation of religion, but of enjoying satisfaction in and through Christ as the real Sabbath rest. Point one, the real meaning of keeping the Sabbath is that we cease from our doing, stop our work, and enjoy what the Lord has done.
Amen.
Done for us by eating Him as the bread of the presence for our nourishment and supply.
Amen.
Point two, man was not created for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was ordained for man so that he might enjoy it with God. God first worked and then rested. Man first rests and then works. And we can see this in creation in Genesis 2. First God worked and then rested, but man was created on the day of rest. So man rests first and then he serves God. Point three, keeping the Sabbath is a sign that God's people work for God, not by their own strength, but by enjoying Him and being filled with Him to be one with Him. It is also an eternal covenant, assuring God that we will be one with Him by first enjoying Him and then working with Him.
Amen.
Amen. Moving on to point E. On the Sabbath, the Lord healed a man who had a withered hand, caring not for keeping of the Sabbath, but for the health of his sheep. Thus, he indicated that in God's New Testament economy, it is a matter not of keeping regulations, but of imparting life. Point one, this is the case of a person who is partially free, but not wholly free. Like the man with the withered hand, we need to be fully liberated. I think my experience, and probably yours as well, is that I've without a doubt received a degree of healing from the Lord, but I need much more healing.
Amen.
I need much more experience of Christ as my emancipator.
Amen.
Point two, the slave Savior is our emancipator, setting us free from religious ritual and from the slavery of sin. We may be liberated to a certain extent, but in certain parts of our life, we still need to be freed by the slave Savior.
Amen.
John 8:32-36, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If therefore the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." Finally, Romans chapter 8, verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life has freed me in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and of death." Well, brothers and sisters, we have the content of the gospel. We also have the way that that content is delivered to man. The way that content is delivered to man is by the wonderful person of Christ.
Amen.
The various aspects of who He is in His living on the earth.
Amen.
The way the gospel content is also delivered is by caring for people one by one, case by case, individual by individual.
Amen.
The brothers did the heavy lifting, and since last night, we have been on the book of Mark. And message one and message two. Last night we had more than 400 saints. And the three phrases our brother really emphasized for us to remember. The first one is Jesus only. Jesus only. The second is hear him. Both of this happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Peter, James, and John, they were there. You recall that really glorification and also a foretaste of the coming kingdom. And there they were a little, when they are in the glory, facing the glory, sometimes in the church life, even facing some blessing, we can get carried away a little bit. And Peter did say something a little confused at that moment because they dozed off. If you read the book of Luke, actually when they went up there, actually in that situation they dozed off. They just napped. And then when the glory shines, all of a sudden they woke up and they saw they are in the glory and facing the glory, and they begin to ponder what else. So when the Father told Peter and the two disciples, hear him and see him only. And another phrase we mentioned last night at the brothers was gain Christ. Brothers and sisters, it's a full house today. This is a glorious, glorious history in the churches in New Jersey and also glorious in the history in this region. And this is a big thing today, sitting here from all the nearby churches. And brothers and sisters, I grew up here, and I have to tell you, I'm very much moved by seeing this conference being held in the church in Franklin. And I have to touch on the testimony of a brother. Actually, this meeting hall, the first meeting we held was on September 30th, 2001. That was the first meeting in this hall. It was a memorial meeting for our brother Alex Chang. He never met here. He never sat in this meeting hall to enjoy a meeting with us. And he was taken away in that tragic attack and in New York City. And through all these years, I think we know the intercessory prayers have always been with us. And today, sitting here and even standing here looking at you, I'm speechless. Brothers and sisters, this is a very historical. And on one hand, we remember so many saints who labored, who gone through here, who benefited, and who are perfected here. On the other hand, we know our Lord today, the slave Savior, is still going on here and serving his churches, even in the midst of the golden lampstands. Praise the Lord. And this message, we're talking about the contents and the ways of the slave Savior. And he's a Savior, yet he's a slave. And for the first contents, we can see his proclamation of the gospel and teaching the truth and casting out demons and healing the sick and cleansing the lepers. Last night we had another word. It's called a collective person. And that's a very crucial word in the Lord's recovery. Because even in Genesis 1:26, we have always been talking about a corporate man. Our Lord desires not only individual Christians. He desires a corporate expression and a corporate representation. And last night that word, collective person, you can see all the Lord's working can be placed in any one of us. Because another phrase, when the sisters in the early morning went to the tomb and the angels told our sisters. He's not here. He's risen. And 3-4 weeks ago, we went into the old meeting hall across this parking lot. And that's where many of us got baptized, on the second floor. And walking in there, trying to clean up some of the treasures. And it really brought us to tears, because our literature office was there from 2002 until we moved to Princeton area in 2009. So we labored on the second floor there. And going through there, and we purposely went in to look for a small plate. Was a handwritten plaque by the exclusive brethren, because that meeting hall was purchased from the exclusive brethren. And the plaque was really maybe 2 by 4 inches. It was handwritten. He is risen. So we took it, and now it's in KPCC. We're going to place it there. He is risen. He's not here. And the angels told the sisters, go tell my disciples and Peter. And Peter. Brothers and sisters, that collective person is a collective Peter. Our brother, he, you know, gone through a lot of dealing with our Lord. And in 1 Peter, we know in chapter 2, he was talking about the living stone. And all of us becomes living stones. Now, he was the little rock. Pedros, he is a little rock. Now, we all become living stones and build together and grow together to become the temple of God and the dwelling place of our Lord in spirit. So that collective person, that and Peter means and you and me. We are all here, brothers and sisters. Our slave Savior desires his replication, duplication in every one of us. And even his humanity, the slave Savior desires to dispense himself in the spirit as slaves still in us. And for this message, the brothers mentioned the ways, the contents and the ways. And a couple of phrases I want to mention. One is, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. The church, as the body of Christ, as the expression of Christ, if the head is a slave, what about the disciples? The disciples is not higher than the master. And if he's the slave, we are slaves. There's one brother, and their whole family was, you know, grew up in the church life, and he was one of the early co-workers of Brother Lee in Taiwan, Brother Liu. And a few years ago, and the brothers made a book remembering our brother. And he has at least, I know, 3 sons and 1 daughter. And one of the brother who, you know, come to New Jersey from time to time, and he one time mentioned, I just asked him, do you really love the Lord from the beginning? And every church kid goes through struggles. Okay? We have many second generation, third generation sitting here. Everyone is struggling from time to time in their lifetime. And if you're here, you're struggling in your heart. You should realize our Lord, your Lord, is a slave. and your parents, your grandparents have been serving like slaves, which left you alone, did not take good care of you in many occasions, caring for the church, caring for the saints, and caring for other people's children, may not have a full care for you. And in our hearts, many times we may murmur, we may complain, we may wrestle, we may say, tell the Lord, I'm not going to be in the church life when I grow up. And that brother and their father told them, what do you expect? I'm a slave. What about the children of a slave? You're all going to be slaves. So, when he was testifying, the children of slaves are all slaves. I just cannot control. I just became very emotional. Brothers and sisters, our Lord, have you ever realized we always enjoy his serving us? But the point is, he dispensed himself as a life into us. And there's a character in that life is a slave. There's a position in that life is a slave. There is a humanity in that life is a slave. And in this country, particularly in this country, everybody want to become not a slave, but enslave, maybe enslave others. I mean, everybody want to be get on top. But our Lord choose the way, get to the lowest. The lowest as a slave to serve. And you can see it, even the contents when he proclaimed the gospel. There the five items is also to a collective person. Not only preaching gospel, preaching himself as the gospel, the glad tidings. But the preaching and the teaching is one. If you go to the book of Ephesians, you can see the gospel of truth. The truth in the gospel. So proclamation of the gospel and teaching the truth is one. That's why even in the gifts the Lord gave to the church, shepherds and teachers, gospel preaching, shepherding and teaching. That's so much needed in today's church life. And we do have the truth. We also care for many practical items. But the slave Savior, he personally cared, have a personal touch in everything he did. Everything is related with the person, not the way, not the method, not the results whatsoever, but to that person. Since you can see today, many times we can be very busy with a lot of things. But the slave, when the first one mentioned in Exodus 21, when a slave, he had the chance to be freed. And in our history, in this country, the famous speaking from Virginia will be, give me liberty or give me death. Am I right? Give me liberty, give me death. I only remember his first name, Henry Patrick. Henry Patrick. Patrick Henry, sorry. Patrick Henry. Give me liberty or give me death. The first time I drove to New Hampshire years ago, I saw their car plates. Live free or die. I said, whoa, I don't want to come to this state. This is a live free or die. Brothers and sisters, here a Savior. He's willing to be bonded. He had the opportunity to take over everything. But he is a slave. And in Exodus 21, you know that slave? He could go free after 6 years. But he chose to stay with his master. And the master would take him, go to the doorpost, and use awl to drill, to bore a hole to his right ear. And later you can see That boring the ear is to opening the ears. In Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah 52, I have to check. 50. His ear is an instructed ear. So he can hear the Lord, his instruction every morning. His ear was opened up. Brothers, his heart was opened up. And he had a tongue, of instructed tongue. You can see it throughout our Lord's service, his ministry. He's always asking the Father. He's always listening to the Father's speaking. And even when he was really rebuking and condemning those scribes and Pharisees, after that, he turned around and answered to the Father. You can see his ears, his heart, and his tongue is always ready. That's a slave. In a good restaurant, a good servant can get a lot of tips. And they are always watchful, observing, watching, see what the guests, the customers, really needs. Oh, brothers and sisters, our Lord, in the book of Mark, I think more than 42 times, used the word immediately. As if in 16 chapters, and you can see from 15 and 16, there's no chance for him to be immediately anymore. The first 14 chapters, our Lord has been immediately. That's the attitude. That's the heart of a slave. An obedient slave. The word of obedient, actually the Greek meaning is listen intentively and attentively without comments murmuring in the hearts. Brothers and sisters, that's our Lord. This slave is not only to be a slave, but to be a slave willingly, with a full heart to serve us and to serve his church. Brothers and sisters, in the church life today, how much we need to love one another, to serve one another. Today, the whole world is getting messed up. According to 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2, we know the lawlessness will become rampant. The lawlessness will go every corner, every person, every nation, every tongue, every tribe, every color, every class. Anything you can imagine of, the enemy, the lawlessness, will use it to usurp the man God created and chosen to be his vessels for the building up of his body. And today, there are so many people, particularly the younger generation, are so confused. There is no hope. There is no goal. There is no purpose. There is no meaning for the human race other than what we are talking about in the Bible. Brothers and sisters, today the enemy is using all means to take advantage of God's created man, of God's chosen ones. And even in the church life, the enemy can take advantage of many factors to divide us. So last night, another phrase we used is the one new man. Even in the Mount of Transfiguration, even in the slave Savior's work, he is creating the one new man. And today in the church life, brothers and sisters, the one new man has no race, no color, no language, no social class. There's no difference. No Jews and no Greeks. And no slave, no free man. No Scythians, no barbarians. Brothers and sisters, today Only the church life, only the church can testify for the slave savior. In the society, and some saints are beginning to, you know, some of the saints in New York City, they are reading the book of Daniel. And one day I joined them, and they were talking about some social matters. And it just happened we were on chapter 2, the great stature. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you, we are reaching the 2 feet and the 10 toes. Everything is dividing. Everything can become divisive. It doesn't matter what a system you are living in the East or in the West, or even in the Middle East, or in North, in South. Every element are being used to divide person to person. Even the social media can become such a powerful tool to scatter people. Even though it intended to link people together, yet it becomes such a powerful, divisive tool. Only in the body. Only in the church life. Our Lord, the slave savior, really set a pattern to serve others, to love one another. He set a pattern for his disciples. And in John 13, we know that's right before he was delivered up. And he girded himself with a towel and took some water and knelt down to wash the feet of the disciples. There again, Peter didn't know what does that mean. And he did not want the Lord to wash him. And the Lord said, if I don't wash you, you have nothing to do with me. Peter said, oh, in that case, just wash me everywhere. Many times, that's how we respond. We are very digital. Either one or zero. Okay. There's nothing in between. Okay? The one or zero. And when the Lord washed them one by one, and he did such a detailed job, and he had to dry their feet, and he tell them, you may not understand, you may not fully understand what I'm doing to you, but that day you will. And at the beginning of chapter 13, this says, he loved those who belonged to him. And he will love them to the uttermost. There he can also love them to the end. And in Hebrews chapter 7, the same verse used. He who come, believe and come before him, he will love them to the uttermost. Our Lord today is on the throne today. Yet a slave savior is on the throne. He is still sitting there. And he's operating in the spirit, in his uplifted humanity. And this slave savior is still operating in us. Amen. Brothers and sisters, in today, we have so many saints sitting here. And there are so many people, either in our church or other Christians nearby, or many seeking ones. Many are like flocks scattered without shepherds. Brothers and sisters, the slave savior, look at how passionate, how compassionate he was, how merciful he was in his ways, serving his disciples and serving people. Even through his disciples, and even the 5 loaves, last night we talked about the 4,000, 5,000, and also the Gentile woman. And the Lord, actually it's twice, handing out the bread through his disciples. So here, that's the Roman numeral 2 was talking about going through us today. He is dispensing life into us. And he wants us to become life dispensers into many. Brothers and sisters, let's have some really merciful and passionate hearts to so many scattered children of God today. Maybe next to your neighbor, maybe in your church, maybe many Christians in your working place, in your schools. Brothers and sisters, today, so many needs a slave Savior's care. And today, if we become really His body and His expression and His duplication, I think He began Himself as a slave. We should begin ourselves as a slave, maybe from this weekend. To be a slave, to serve others, not hope to be served. Of course, today we all have needs. We are hoping others will serve us as well. So let's love one another and serve one another and channel the slave Savior's life into many, the multitude nearby, in our neighborhood, in our schools, in our working place, in our relatives, our families. There's so many, and particularly our younger generation. And today, they're so confused. Many are very confused. You hear so many tragedies happening here and there. It's really heart-laden and heartbreaking. From time to time, when we hear precious young lives were lost. Brothers and sisters, our Lord has cared for us for all these years. And He will care us today and care us in the future. Let's care so many through us today and tomorrow and the coming days. Because the Lord's days are coming. And the Lord, the days are short. And the age is getting dark. The church is the light. The church is the golden lampstand. Let's shine. Saints, let's shine forth. Shine forth through the life of the slave Savior to so many who are seeking light, who are sitting in the darkness without knowing what is light. Let's shine into their hearts. May the Lord really have mercy using the book of Mark and all these fine items to really shine forth the life of the slave.